Welcome to Dark Ducks Digest. I am your host, Christian Coffins. We are here with Eric Bocknine, who has quite a story to tell. He was arrested for not attending a Zoom court hearing, I understand, for the January 6th ordeal that he was at. Didn't hurt anybody. This was actually a misdemeanor, from what I understand. And he couldn't attend a Zoom meeting, I believe, for technical reasons. So we'll get into that. So they arrested him and raided his house and messed up his camera. So that's why he's not centered in the shot right now. And we're going to be doing more of these live ones. I got a lot of stuff coming up in the near future. Sound Investigations with the hashtag Pornhub Tapes is going to be coming up this weekend, where they're exposing how they're overlooking a lot of pedophilia and stuff going on Pornhub and other horrible things. So stay tuned for all of that. We were going to try to do this live on Rumble, but apparently I need another camera. So I'm still new to a lot of this stuff. The technology is always changing. So please help us out. Go to the Dark Doc shop at darkdocs.me/shop. We got t-shirts, thumb drives, projectors with media and all kinds of fun stuff, comic books and you name it. So check it out. We make all the stuff here in house. They're all info bombs to help awaken people to the corruption that's going on in our government and in our world. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Eric so we can get this thing started. How you doing, man?
Yeah, much better than being in the what they call the DC Gulag, which is a city jail, not a federal jail. It's an infamous jail for human abuses. Generally, for anybody who doesn't know about DC, most of the quote-unquote residents, legal term, are people of quote-unquote color, as I guess that's the politically correct term. And it's run basically by imports, meaning basically people from Africa. So I don't know if anybody knows that generally African-Americans and Africans tend to dislike each other. So the system there allows for a lot of abuses of DC residents who are, of darker complexion. It's a terrible place.
So what exactly were you arrested? Because you had a misdemeanor, from what I understand, for being at J6, and you've because of COVID and everything, that all of these court hearings are on Zoom meetings from home on your laptop on the internet. What happened? How did this all happen?
Well, no, yeah, for me, so I was first arrested in May of 21. It was pretty civil. They handcuffed me in front, kind of white collar style, and they released me that day. And I was on a recognizance bond, but I actually had to do some digging. And I found that I found the bond, which was never presented. I was never given due process. I was never, they never gave me the bond to sign and review. But I found it, and it said they had a cursive kind of font on there, so it looked like a signature, but it said defendant unable to sign because of COVID. So that was pretty nice right off the beginning.
Before you continue, it's bugging me because I have OCD. You have the StreamYard logo on your forehead. Can you lean to your left? There you go.
Yeah, it's reversed.
I just can't take you seriously with a duck on your forehead. All right. So,
yeah.
Awesome. Much better. So continue.
Yeah. So then, for two plus years, I was representing myself. They call it represent, but I was presenting myself sui juris, in propria. I wasn't using the attorneys. The court was just, they don't want to listen to the law. They don't obey their own rules. I was watching pretty much what the trials in D.C. were shaping up to be with other quote-unquote defendants there. And it didn't look nice. I mean, you weren't getting a fair trial. So basically, I skipped a Zoom meeting. My bad. And they sent the marshals to get me on August 2nd. And then I got I got what they call diesel therapy. So they arrested me. I went to my local county, Oneida County, and then they sent me down to Broome County and then Albany County. That's in all New York, by the way. And then they took me to an airport and put me on Con Air, like the movie. And that's called diesel. They call it diesel therapy. Like they just keep moving you around and getting you disoriented. And so, yeah, then I went out to Oklahoma for some reason because they wanted to get me to D.C. So I went from New York to Oklahoma on an airplane with shackles and all that. And Oklahoma, it's called Grady County, another corrupt. They're getting contracts from the feds, basically, it seems. And then I got to Washington. No. Oh, then they sent me to a place called Northern Neck, which is another corrupt jail that is getting kickbacks from the government, and they're not supposed to send January 6th defendants there. So I was there for about 6 hours, and then they woke me up and said, "Oh, you have court," and they threw me in the dungeon of the court in D.C., which I didn't have a court appearance. So then they took me over to the D.C. jail, which a lot of the people call the Gulag, where a lot of January 6th defendants are, and they're housed in one what they call a pod one. So, yeah. I got to D.C. And so after 1 month of moving around, and then I spent 2 months in D.C. and then I took a plea deal because I was locked up and I couldn't access my law library and submit things. So I had to go with the public defender and take a plea, which I got a. 1752A1, which is entering and remaining in restricted grounds or buildings. So I guess that's fancy talk for trespassing on a public building.
And let's go over what happened from your perspective on January 6th. You're outside the Capitol with the masses of everybody. Walk me through how you were able to walk in, and you know, there's this notorious photo of you next to the Q shaman, and it's been all over all the news and stuff, and you're circled and stuff, and it's going to be on the article when I post this and stuff. How did you get there? How did this happen?
Wait, for your viewers, they can research it, but when I'm circled, just for the record, was I having a, did I have a MAGA flag or anything, or what did I look like?
You look like an investigative reporter doing very unbiased reporting of the historic scene. You were wearing a hoodie. You didn't seem left, right, or center. You just look like some guy.
Right. So I didn't have any MAGA gear on or anything. Like I had a camera in my hand. Is that pretty much correct?
That's correct.
Okay. But I was next to people with, you know, the Buffalo guy with the paint and the war paint or whatever it is, and people with MAGA, and I'm just sitting there kind of filming, correct?
Yep, you're the only one that doesn't seem, you're the only one that seems unaffiliated.
Okay, that's good. So when I was outside, for the record, I went there independently. You know, I traveled in my own private car, in my own, you know, private capacity. I wasn't part of Stop the Steal or MAGA. So I wasn't affiliated with any of these groups. I went there in my own private capacity to record the event, basically because I've been doing this for quite a long time. I go to protests, whether I agree or disagree. I mean, I've been to BLM protests as well. And I have a tendency to spot agent provocateurs, which are usually undercover cops dressed up as anarchists or, you know, I mean, before it was called Antifa, very few people know it was called Black Bloc. That's the traditional name of these basically middle class suburban teenagers that like to fuck the system because dad's a judge or dad's a politician, and they go into the city and they beg for money and they skateboard and, you know, and it's cool. But usually these things are infiltrated by the cops or the feds historically.
Right. Well, I mean, going further back, you know, of course, the Black Bloc came way, the original Antifa was like World War One, World War Two, all that. So it got adopted by the Black Bloc.
Exactly.
And, our new bass player for Sacred Owls, Tam, you know, she's been affiliated with like Antifa and stuff over the years and all that. And she's a non-violent, you know, kind of left-leaning individual and, you know, great girl. Obviously I wouldn't be hanging out with her if she was like some radical terrorist. And, you know, we've been attacked by quote unquote, bash the fash and Antifa called National Socialist and all these things here in Orlando. And, you know, she of course disavows all of that. You know, but, you know, so it seems that I've talked to a lot of people that identify as like Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and most of them seem very, you know, we agree on a lot of things and they, you know, they are against a lot of this terrorism. And, you know, just like on the right wing, when you're like, oh, well, what happened on January 6th is like same provocateurs. You ask these left leaning individuals that identify as, you know, Antifa and this and that, you know, oh, well, how do you explain all this? It's like, same thing. It's COINTELPRO. It's people, you know, those brick pallets of bricks during the George Floyd riots didn't just like appear, you know, those were obviously Soros funded non-governmental organizations, NGOs and things like that in order to destabilize the U.S. And of course, have us have this civil war of, oh, it's left versus right. You know, so you know, here at Dark Ducks, we're really trying to like bridge the divide and like, yeah, we're very critical of Antifa and things like that, but we're also very critical recently of all of the, you know, national socialists, white supremacists and all those things. These are all radical terrorists, you know, whether they're on the left or the right, they're all being funded by the same people.
Indeed.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. So, you know, I just wanted to put the background of that. And I think the reason that they, you're absolutely correct that Antifa was traditionally from Germany, World War II, but here in America, it was Black Bloc, Black Bloc for as long as I can remember, but
in the 90s and early 2000s.
You know, they were there infiltrating, you know, Occupy, which I generally supported Occupy. That was a great move in my view. Like they weren't just going to protest for the weekend and bang drums and kumbaya. They stayed there, but it got infiltrated massively.
Yeah, they were at the Bohemian Grove in 2012. If you see our film, They Are Here to Save the World, you know, Resist the Grove did a great job because they're at the gates during Cremation of Care every year. Mark Dice was out there, which is more right wing. Cindy Sheehan was out there, which is more left wing. And that was all part of Occupy. They bust people out there. And, you know, I mean, that was a very noble kind of across the aisle, as it were, operation in order to, you know, expose corruption, which, you know, Bohemian Grove, I mean, that's like the heart of a lot of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. I think what they had to, the reason they had to do import the traditional Antifa was because they had the idea that they were going to invent BLM, which I still call Bureau of Land Management, because when you look at what BLM did,
that's good. I like that.
No, I mean, BLM traditionally meant the feds, Bureau of Land Management. So look what BLM did, you know, in those few years back, messing
they
up.
Bought mansions.
Yes. And basically, they messed up these neighborhoods. They drove out the small mom and pops, you know, the Hindus and the Koreans and Chinese grocers. And then the bankers can come in and buy up all these messed up neighborhoods at, you know, pennies on the dollar. So BLM.
Gentrification for BlackRock, absolutely.
Yep. So I think, and also because you couldn't have Black Bloc and Black Lives Matter, because your average American, whatever side of the aisle, their mental capacity would be too confused, and they would hear black and black, and it would confuse them. So they had to have Antifa, which was a bunch of, you know, white kids, and then black, you know, Black Lives Matter, kind of intermingled, but not quite, because they had there was a lot of controversies from those two sides. Yes. And in fact, now what, you got this guy, one of the founders of BLM, I forgot his name, but very recently he came out supporting Trump and supporting January 6ers. So, I mean, is this contrived? Is it orchestrated? I don't know, but it's an interesting turn that you got a Black Lives Matter is now, you know, supporting Trump and.
Well, people have to, and like you have like David Duke, which is like Ku Klux Klan, all that. He supported Biden in the last election, you know. So how does that work? And well, the Democrats have historically been the racist. They founded the Ku Klux Klan, so makes sense, you know. But the party's flipped. But also, people need to understand that are new to this info war new to COINTELPRO, new to activism and all of this, psyops, disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, is that this isn't static. And it's an ever-evolving landscape of disinformation. People, you know, they digest disinformation, get radicalized, then realize that they've been indoctrinated with a false narrative. They wake up, and then they evolve to the next level of understanding of our geopolitical state. Myself included, I've been at this since 96. I'm 40 now, and over the years, I've learned that, like, oh, certain things, you know, that, like, sounded good at first. Oh, well, who's running that? You know, who's behind the fundraising for it? And it's like, turned out not to be so great. Ron DeSantis here in Florida was a good example. We were all like, fuck yeah, Ron DeSantis during COVID. Yeah. You know, even though, okay, he locked us down first, but then he was the first one to lift them. And then he was, you know, the only, seems like the one of the only voices in government at the time speaking out against the vaccines, quote unquote, gene therapies. He was against the masking and bringing on doctors and scientists explaining how, you know, so he did great stuff. But then when he ran for the 2024 election, now he's backed by the Bushes. Now he's, you know, siding with Israel. And now he's censoring Palestinian college groups that, you know, because it's because of anti-Semitic laws that he signed into power in a foreign nation in Israel, which is a violation of the Logan Act. It's a violation of the Constitution. You can't have dual allegiances when you're a public official here in the United States. So it's like all of us that are constitutionalists and know the law, we're like, nope. And all of us that were around for the Bush administration, whether it was junior or senior, if they're supporting him,
yeah,
this is Magog and the Ghouls. This is the Bohemian Grove. This is Skull and Bones. This is the New World Order. These are the depopulationists. These are the people that are pushing for a police state and all of these things. So it's like there's no way in hell, literally, that these people can be supporting him if he's the good guy. And they all hate Trump, you know, and I have my problems with Trump. But like if they all if all the bad guys hate Trump, maybe he's not so bad. Maybe he is trying to fight for free humanity to a certain extent and this and that. I digress. You know, so we are in a very confusing, intentionally confusing geopolitical state of misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. And it's our job here as investigative independent journalists to sift through all the shit in order to find the truth and call out all of the lies and explain who's lying and why, who benefits from all this. And we get nothing but persecuted, you know, and you actually served, you know, time in jail for, you know, just for trying to get to the bottom of things and investigate things in a very non-biased way. So, I mean, that shows that, you know, this is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of my thing going to D.C., other than I knew I would catch the agent provocateurs, it's the first time I ever got arrested for it. I guess I knew I've been doing this too long. Part of my thing was to go there was to talk to the you know, the MAGA people, the people that just worship Trump. I think, you know, it's a bit cultish. Some people take it. You can't see anything against Trump, you know, to some people.
Right.
But I was trying to explain to them that actually, you know, being a registered voter is not the same thing as being an electorate. So was the election stolen?
Can you explain that for our viewers? Because I wouldn't even mind a refresher on that one. What
you know, I mean, basically, from what I know, being a registered voter, to me, this is why I don't register to vote. Mm-hmm. And I'll get on the whole thing when people, the argument when people say, if you don't vote, you can't say anything. I'll get to that in a minute. That's a dumb argument. Basically, if you're a registered voter, you're just basically consenting to be a U.S. federal corporate system under the jurisdiction of D.C., which is a sovereign kind of like London, the City of London and the Vatican and Washington, D.C. They're all the same. That's why they have the three stars that represents the City of London, Vatican and D.C. So to me, when you're a registered voter, it's funny because when you're in prison, they want you to register to vote.
Well, because I think convicted felons can't vote, right? I mean, I know they tried to overturn that, but that's still the state of things, isn't it?
I suppose. I haven't looked into it. I mean,
but that's one of the first things that they had you do, really?
No, I mean, there's posters up, and I had people coming in, signing up people to register to vote. And I try to explain to people that, from my perspective, registering, being a registered voter is basically you're signing your name, you're consenting to contract and be under the jurisdiction of the IRS, the U.S., you know, U.S. federal code, and all this, you know, 18 U.S. code, which is criminal stuff. So, you know, IRS. So basically, technically, I would say that the way the system works, the Electoral College is kind of a distraction. It's kind of half truth, but you have to be a certified electorate. That's who chooses the winner. And the law says that the electorate does not have to go with what the people voted for. So technically it wasn't stolen. What I would say is basically the system we live in disregarded the will of the American people, because objectively Trump won the election in 2020.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't take a genius or a statistician or some kind of expert in elections to just drive down the street in any city that's not like, you know, a Democrat, like downtown city like Chicago or Los Angeles or New York or Austin, Texas, anywhere else in the country. And you don't see Biden signs. There was no Biden bumper stickers. There was no Biden hats. Boy, did you see those red hats everywhere. Boy, did you see Trump lawn signs, flags from trucks, and they had boat parades. I mean, it goes on and on. Like, you just, I went to like the first rally for the 2020 campaign, the Keep America Great, here at the Amway Center in Orlando. And it was insane. It was packed. There was a lot of Asians, a lot of blacks, a lot of Chinese, Hispanics, a lot of Hispanics, because this is Orlando. So you got Puerto Ricans, you got Cubans, you got all kinds of Hispanic people. And they all pretty much, everyone I talked to had the same story that, like, we came from communism, we came from socialism, that shit's horrible, like, that's why we came here, so we could try to start our own businesses and be entrepreneurs and own our own land and do all these things that we kind of take for granted here in the United States, especially the left, especially the millennials that have been indoctrinated in socialism and stuff at the university system. Oh, capitalism's bad. And it's like, whenever you talk to these, when I bought land for the first time and built my treehouse and stuff, I was like, you could do this too. And it's really not that hard. And I'm not rich. I don't come from money. You know, I grew up in a rented apartment, and it was not in a great part of town. And, you know, but if you have $1,000 that you can save up for like a year or 2 years, whatever, you can put that down payment down on land. BeAManByLand.com. I'm not even sponsored by them, but they're great because you don't need banks. You don't need credit approved. You have bad credit, no credit, flat 6% interest rate. They treat everyone the same. And there's other operations that are coming out like that too, where like, you don't need a loan. You don't need good credit. You don't need a credit card. You don't need to build your credit up. You don't have to have assets. You just need that down payment and able to make your monthly payments. They barter if you have a tractor or a dirt bike, or they're like, as long as you don't have to feed it, they won't take livestock, but pretty much anything. They're like a pawn shop that you can buy land from. Like, there's no excuse, you know.
And that's something we have to get to. I mean, the system we're living in is that they mortgage it. 1933, it went bankrupt again. And what the government did was they mortgaged us all. They put us, you know, we the people, quote unquote, they basically made us the sweat equity. It's indentured servitude. I can prove this in a court of law, according to their own congressional records and all this. They mortgaged us all, full scale, 100 in 1933. They took our gold and silver from our forefathers, you know, our great grandparents, whatever. And they, it's the mortgage.
Right. And then, I love these TikTok videos where like young millennial, like women are like realizing like, wait, so when I get paid, I have to pay taxes. But when you paid me, you had to pay taxes. And then when I buy something, then there's sales tax. And then, you know, so it goes on and on, like, where it's like, what percentage of a dollar do you ever really own? You know,
Here's the thing. I mean, for your audience, I mean, who are the productive people? Listen, people that, you know, men and women calling themselves government, whether it's your local municipality, which is probably the worst, and we got to really hit that.
Yes.
Whether it's county or state or federal.
They're all. When we say hit that, they're going to use that out of context. When we say hit that, we mean run for local office. Like, we mean actually, like, that's what I'm saying anyways. I know you probably don't agree with, like,
see, everybody that's in government, look at Congress. You know, I laugh, and I was trying to explain this to people in the D.C. Gulag, especially the patriots that are like, oh, if we can get enough Republicans. I said, we got to stop this R, you know, the R next to the name of the D, because they're all Esquires. Right. It's an E-S-Q. They're all Esquires. They're all attorneys. Every single one, like 90, show me one man or woman in Congress that is not an Esquire.
Yeah, I guess just Rand and Ron Paul, because they're doctors. Ron is a gynecologist, not a lawyer.
And also Trump.
Not a lawyer. Yeah, he's a, you know, real estate guy.
Right. But just look at it. I mean, they're all lawyers, all members. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, you know, they tell us that we have three branches of government. And 70-something percent of people don't know what it is. So I'll refresh. You got the judicial, you've got the legislative, and then you've got the executive. Executive would be the president. We don't have that, and we haven't had it for a while. It's a judicial / attorney esquire. That's what this country has been run. Administrative law, admiralty law, we're run by esquires, and esquires is a term of nobility from Europe. So we've, you know, people say we had a revolution. No, we never really got out from underneath the feudal system here in America. We've been propagandized about the revolution and the founding fathers. We've been under esquires, admiralty law, pretty much from day one. That's how I look at our history. We've been lied to so massively.
Yeah, TruthStream Media did a good, they do great work, but they did a deep dive on The Shining, which I thought was very interesting. It was a very unusual take, and it ends up somehow going down that whole rabbit hole of, like, they showed a bunch of letters that were written, like, you know, from George Washington to Great Britain, and, like, how, like, the whole story we're told about, like, you know, 1776 and the founding of this country and all of this, and, like, that it was kind of a false flag that, like, you know, it's like, all right, you guys, you know, can now do this, and, like, you can talk shit about the crown and all this, you know, but, like, really, we still control you. And and I think it's very telling that if you look throughout history, you know, any presidents we have and stuff, like, you know, we kind of dance around it and stuff, but, like, they won't ever address, like, you know, oh, England's our ally and, you know, all of these things. But, like, we fought a war over this, didn't we? We were killing redcoats. We were, you know, like, they were the ones that were trying to tell us what to do, and we said no. And, you know, so it's like, we got to be even very careful. Again, these are all cults. They are cults of personality, cult of ideology. So just be very careful, like, when, like, you fly that 1776 flag and stuff. Like, I say it all the time, you know, like, of course, Alex, you know, the answer to 1984 is 1776. At this point, it's become an idea. It's become an ideal, kind of like Guy Fawkes, you know, who was a terrorist, but he's on our side because he was a terrorist against, you know, the bigger terrorist, the big tyranny. But yeah, like, we have to be careful. The same thing on the left with, like, you know, them wearing Che Guevara shirts and shit. Like, that guy was a rapist and a murderer and, like, whatever. Oh, but he was fighting the man, you know. It's like,
and he was kind of a sex appeal too for the women, and he had the, you know, the beret, and yeah, he had the sex appeal, and, you know, came to New York and spoke.
He's a good looking guy, sure.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, you know, one of the other reasons I went to the D.C. on January 6th was I was trying to convey to people there that we're all putting their energy behind marching. I mean, I've been saying for a long time, even though I go to a protest, I've been trying to tell people, like, you're just going on the weekend for a Saturday and you're banging your drums and you're yelling at buildings. They don't care about that stuff. I'm like, I was trying to convey to people or pose the question, like, Why don't you just stop filing, you know, your W-4s? Why don't you just stop paying your property taxes? Why don't we just, you know, like, see?
Well, that's why they're hiring all those IRS agents, because they see that coming at a certain point, that people are just going to be like, you know what? I don't agree with the way you're spending my money, so I'm just not going to do XYZ. And, you know, like, are they going to try to audit everybody? There's always going to be people that are still like, I'm getting these tax cutbacks, and, you know, I got my LLCs, and they're already like in the system so deep that like all of their, you know, corporate credit cards, all of their corporate accounts would be frozen. And that's what they use in order to get more assets and more leverage, in order to borrow more, in order to make more money. So it's like anybody in that system, like, they're not going to do it. But I think more and more people are like, I don't want to be a part of any of this stuff, and I don't agree to any of this, and I don't like it, and I'm just not going to. They would rather be homeless. They would rather live out of their van and, you know, just, you know, only deal with cash. And that's why they're trying to get rid of cash, you know. So they have to go to gold bars.
It's possible to do. I went back to China in 2019, right before all this stuff happened. And I was gone for a year and a half. And in a year and a half, I went back. They all use WeChat. Like, you buy a pack of gum, they're just, you know, just, there's no cash there anymore. So it's doable. I'm still perplexed why they haven't succeeded so much here in America, because they definitely want to.
Well, I mean, they're beta testing it with the theme parks, at least here in Orlando. Disney, I know SeaWorld for sure. I'm not sure about Universal. They're cashless now. What they do have is they have these ATM kind of things where you can put your money into it, and then they'll give you a cash card. And then I was talking with some of the bartenders there, and they hate it, because what ends up happening is people end up just giving like whatever's left on the cash card as a tip to their bartender. Like
20 cents.
Yeah, so now these bartenders, they're like weird digital strippers, where like they have all of these cash cards that they don't even know how much money is on. You know, so if they go to pay for something, they're like, well, here's 14 cents here, here's $1.50 here. And like, so, and then also, like, these are the same people. You can't get a plastic straw at SeaWorld. Now, I love SeaWorld, don't get me wrong, but some of the shit's so backwards that like you can't have a plastic straw, but yet you're printing all of these plastic cards in order for people to not use money. And
so in New York, we had these, a lot of these, you know, corporate chains were using, I think it failed, but they were trying to get paper straws, which suck, but the paper straws
were
wrapped in plastic.
Yeah. And then they have microplastics and stuff that, like, you know, break off, and you're eating plastic, you're drinking plastic, I guess you can say, it's going into your system. And that's not good for you. And, you know, does it have bisphenol A, the BPA, which causes cancer and all kinds of horrible things? It goes on and on.
Yeah, no, it's messed up.
I have a stainless steel metal straw, you know, so I try to do that, you know, because
plastic straws
are dumb too. I mean, I get it, you know.
Yeah, I'm just good with drinking out of the bottle or whatever. I don't need a straw.
I like glass the most, but yeah, like I try it. I have my like little stainless steel, you know, container everywhere I go and stuff, my little thermos. But anyways, that was a rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you think about Owen Schroyer? You know, he got sentenced to 60 days, which
started
last Tuesday.
Wait, so he, for January 6th, right?
Yeah, apparently he got sentenced 60 days for pleading not guilty. He never entered the Capitol like you terrorists. he was on the outside telling people not to go in. It's a trap. And literally, like, the official thing was, like, for chanting 1776, they claimed, like, that was inciting a riot. And then they tried to throw in that, like, he had a capital offense before. If you recall, about a year or two ago, where they said that he couldn't speak or hold up a sign inside the Capitol with like these like Palestinian ceasefire people. You have the environmental activists that all have stormed the Capitol, quote unquote, worse than 9/11. and all these things, even like damaged capital property and stuff over the past couple of years and months and weeks. They're not getting anything. They're getting a slap on the wrist. But this January 6th was worse than 9/11, worse than Pearl Harbor, which is disgusting and despicable.
For the records, a lot of these judges and the media, they like to say that January 6th is worse than 9/11. I take offense to that. I lived on 202 Hester Street in Manhattan, which is about a 10-minute walk from the building. I ran away from that first building, falling down. That traumatized me, and then I worked on the pile. So anybody that suggests that January 6th was worse than 9/11, you're going to have a lawsuit, and I'm coming after you.
Good. I mean, we really, to me, that's more offensive than any anti-Semitism. It's more offensive than any racism or any sexism or any transphobia or any of these other things, because a lot of these kids these days, they weren't around for all that, or they were babies. It was 9/11/01 was my 18th birthday, and I was in the hospital watching the whole thing, and it enraged me to no end that, like, I knew I had a mission on this earth after that day, that I had to go and research everything that has to do with everyone involved, the Project for a New American Century, rebuilding America's defenses, who is Francis Fukuyama, who are, Robert Keegan, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld. The Pentagon was being audited. They were missing trillions of dollars. And then 9/11 just happens. It turns out Building 7, that's where all those records were. We can't find it. And like, now we're in the war in Iraq and Department of Homeland Security and all these things. I've gone to New York City for these 9/11 things over the years. We were some of like the original We Are Change chapters. We Are Change Miami. We Are Change West Palm Beach. I know you got your feelings about Luke Radowski. I'd like to do a dive on that, because I'd like to have him on the show to defend himself. I've met him in person several times, and I have questions. We've met with the first responders. We've met with the people taking cocktails of like 30 pills a day with blood in their lungs, and like all the dogs died within months. And the EPA, the Environmental Protected Agency, said that the air was safe to breathe and that the masks were scaring people. Take off the mask and breathe in that asbestos, way, you could die, now with COVID, the whole mask thing's on the other side.
The headaches I had for months on end, that place, I mean, again, 10 minutes away, my apartment was filled with dust. I had smashed up cop cars and first response, like, just they piled up before they were figuring out how to transport them off the island. And no, I mean, it was pretty traumatic for me. So the suggestion that the government it says to my face that January 6th was worse than 9/11, you're going to answer for those words.
The only way the phrase January 6th is worse than 9/11 could ever be true is the fact that they're both false flag operations. 9/11 was an inside job. January 6th was an inside job. It is both government-sponsored terrorism, not even negligence. You had federal operatives that were working under false flags, under the guise of Trump supporters, under the guise of Antifa, radicalizing both sides and trying to get people to storm the Capitol in order for there to be an armed insurrection. I think it's a testament to the conservatives and independents like yourself that were there on January 6th, that like the only person that apparently died was Ashley Babbitt. And you have some, information on that, which is a hot take. If you want to dive into that as well, but like, that was the only reported death, and apparently there's some information that might have as well been staged.
Well, no, there was Ashley Babbitt, and then there was another woman, Barr, or something, not Rose. I always want to say Roseanne Barr, or something Barr. Something Barr.
But she didn't die, though, right?
Oh, no, she was supposedly trampled. In fact, there was one of the guys I was locked up with was called, do you want some gulag drama.
That's why we're here.
So there's a guy, Jake Lang, who I was in there with. A lot of people hated him, like basically the Proud Boys were calling him, like they were yelling at him, F you, Jake, you're a grifter. So there's people making money off of this January 6th, just to let you know, especially on the so-called right. There's a lot of money flying.
Yeah, we need to get in on that money, man, because we're not getting any.
Well, I'm officially bankrupt right now, so yeah. So there's a lot of money. There's a lot of
narrative. With that being said, before we go further, we're at the 40-minute mark. You have a legal defense fund that you've set up, I understand.
Oh, no, it's not. It's basically just trying to, I guess they call it getting back on my feet and trying to get stuff back together. Yeah, GiveSendGo with my name here, just with no space. GiveSendGo /
Okay, so GiveSendGo .com/ Eric. Bochene, yep. It's Bochene.
It's Bochene. It's Bochene.
Bochene. I always say it wrong. How do you say it?
The government was saying Bochene, which is the French.
How do you like it?
Depends. But I like Bochene.
Bochene? We're going to stick with Bochene.
Yeah, it would have
an it's phonetic. That's why I like that one. Bochene.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, GibsonGo.com/Eric Bochene. Yep. And, you know, this guy's throwing down, man. You've been at this investigative journalism game since how long?
Before 9/11, I was kind of predicting it and things like that. I was following Alex Jones back then, the driver's license, the birth certificate, the whole fraud, you know. But 9/11 really just day one, I'm like, this is nah. So. 9/11, 22 years ago.
Yeah. All right, so continue about the tea on January 6th in the clink.
Oh, so one guy, Jake Lang, who I didn't have a personal problem with. A lot of people said he was a is this on YouTube?
This right now?
Yeah,
or will I'll it be? Try to upload it to YouTube. It's definitely going to be on Rumble and BitChute.
All right, so I'll try to keep my language. He was a small hat, apparently.
A small hat?
Yes, small hat. You know, something that starts with a J.
He was Semitic.
Semitic, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So a lot of people were accusing him of being a grifter and scamming people. He said, the woman's name was Roseanne Boyle. Roseanne Boyle. He was claiming that she died in his arms and all this. Now, mind you, Jake, and again, I saw evidence where he was there at the front line with a gas mask on. So a lot of people that were locked up had masks on, gas masks, and those were the people that I'm like, when I was there, I'm like, oh, these people came for a fight or they came for something. And you can see me, no mask. No, none of that Patriot Kevlar and helmets. I was just there. In fact, what I did was I picked up a what do you call those black cases with the silver trim for audio visual equipment? Do they have a specific name? Like gearbox, a gearbox? You know, I don't know. Okay. The black. You know what I'm talking about? Like a movie set or audio. Sure. So I picked up a board of that because they were throwing tear gas. You know, I was just using it as a shield. All these other people had Kevlar and gas masks. And so the only way I could get there was to bouncing stuff off.
Crazy.
But anyway, a lot of people were there with masks. And I was like, this just isn't right. Because most of the real Trump supporters there, in my view, were there because they didn't want to wear a mask and all that. But at the front of the line, there was a lot of agitators. And I would say that it was a I'll say it for the record right now. I think the FBI and the DOJ has been the designated fall guy, bad guy, the one to throw under the proverbial bus. Oh, this is going to piss a lot of patriots off, but I would say overarchingly it was probably more of a DOD operation or CIA. Because again, they're above those guys. You cannot sell me the fact that the FBI could get away with doing something like this, and the DOD, I mean, those are the big boys. The DOD is the Pentagon is the big boys.
Yeah, I mean, and from, you know, my intel and, you know, a lot of different investigators and stuff I've talked to, a lot of these things, you know, there's such a level of compartmentalization, and they're all running their own drills and their own psyops and their own things. And the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And it's not an accident. There are no accidents. It's all intentional in order for them to have plausible deniability.
Yes.
Because be like, I don't know what those guys were doing. I don't know who those guys are.
It's not only that, but so when Congress, you know, doing the weaponization of the government, gets whoever from the DOJ or the FBI in front of Congress, and then they ask them a question like, I have to ask you, was Ray Epps an FBI agent or an informant? And then when they say no, they're not lying because, well, they should have, because it's
been more vague. Was he a government agent? Was he a United States government agent? Because or actor, and that's why they use the term actor a lot. Because he wasn't an informants aren't agents; they're not sworn in. You know, so they play these slippery little games.
Right.
And, you know, so you have to be as vague as possible. It's like, did he work? Was he getting a paycheck from the government? Did a government employee tell him what to do? Was he trying to get off of jail time for something in order to, you know, XYZ? You know, it's like they have to frame but so you have to wonder, we're not in government. We're not experts. I mean, we know a lot, you know, we've been around, but like there's people that know way more. So you mean to tell me that Ted Cruz, he needs this advice that we're giving him right now? Or is he trying to seem like he's part of the resistance? But really, he's at, I dropped the ball. Again, plausible deniability at all levels. So it's like they dance around for optics. Oh, my election's coming up. I need to look like I'm part of the resistance, like Eyepatch McCain and all these guys. You know, they're like, we're part of the Trump revolution, but I'm also a member of the World Economic Forum. You know, it's like, no.
Well, see, there's something that I use when I'm, because I don't debate and I don't argue. That's why when they tried bringing me into the court, I said off the bat, I said, listen, I'm not a part of your legal system. And I said, it is not my nature to be argumentative. So basically I was trying to say that there's absolutely no way I can consciously go into your court system because it's not my nature. I said, hey, you bring a victim, you bring a man or woman who's going to testify under penalty of perjury, like, hey, you know, Chris, you did this and you did that, like, hey, I'll answer to those charges, right? But I'm not going to play this legal system we have. It's fraud, it's semantics, it's nonsense, it's legalese, it's a big fiction, it's a big seance. All rise, come into court, you appear, and it's all magic. It's literally magic.
I think like in a microcosm, like it's like a roadside sobriety test, you know, where that is designed to trip up a sober person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, say the alphabet backwards. Oh, I couldn't say the alphabet backwards if I was sober. Ah, gotcha. It's all these little gotcha games. They tried to do it to me, you know, and that was the only time I was ever arrested and had my mugshot, and I blew a .008, you know, which is anything under 005, like is like you did some mouthwash, you know, and it gets thrown out of court here in Florida. So the fact that they even processed me was, you know, just like you, clearly, like the process is the punishment, the diesel also, treatment, as it were.
It's also lucrative.
It's very lucrative. I had to lawyer up. You know, we had to do all these things. I had to get bail because it's here in Florida, and you know, so then the bail guys get a cut, everyone gets a cut of me, and I got to, you know, get the walk of shame and the mugshot that, like, still if you search for my name, that's like the first thing that comes up, and you have to pay money to these extortionists in order for them, because it's a public record, so they take it down in 24 hours after you're released. But you know, you have these people that they scrape that website in real time and upload it to their private server, and they're allowed to do that. That's protected under the First Amendment. But standing outside of a Capitol building on public property chanting 1776, and by the way, it's also the people's house. We are the people. We the people. You know, so if you were let in there by law enforcement, let's get into that. So you're outside the Capitol. How did you get in? Were you led by law enforcement?
It's on the record. I mean, I was one of the first people in, and I recognized agent provocateurs stirring up people, breaking the windows. I'm like, well, so I recognized who and what I immediately knew what I was seeing. So I followed him in and I crawled through the broken window behind somebody that broke it. Okay. Tailing.
So the doors weren't open at you were at.
They were open.
Why
did
you go through a window? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it was just because it was a lot of people and that was the immediate path in front of me. So I wanted to follow the person that broke the window.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I try to put it into the context of, you know, there's been a lot of riots in these cities over the years. And let's say this is your neighborhood and you just go into a Tesco to just document like, wow, look at all these hoodlums have done. And like, even if they're in the midst of it. So if you're just filming, did you break in? Are you trespassing?
So did you, were you able to identify this person who broke the window?
Yeah. He's Nicholas Rodine and he's on my channel. Basically this guy was I did investigation. It's the guy I'm right next to that has a MAGA hat on and a Trump flag.
That guy. Okay.
Yeah, his name is Nicholas Rodine. And basically,
what's his story?
He worked at Glory Donuts of gay and lesbian. He was a total MAGA. He's a mentally deficient, left-wing guy.
So he was wearing the MAGA gear as a disguise.
Yes. And it was one thing I noticed about a lot of these people, it was because I've worked in film and TV and I know what something looks like when it's freshly out of the package. So all these flags and all these hats, they were literally just taken out of the plastic wrapper and thrown on and it's total.
Yeah. Bad. They all looked brand new. They bought it that day, which because I wasn't there, I was going to try to go and I'd probably be in the same boat as you. Yeah, when I was at like the CPAC or the Trump rally and stuff, you have all of these merchants that, you know, screen printers and stuff or embroiderers that print all this stuff up and show up Johnny on the spot to like make that money because, you know, it's a smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the excuse I told myself, like, oh, that shit looks new because, like, you know, they probably bought it right there then and there. Makes sense. But then I saw the videos of like, there's boxes of this MAGA stuff that was like behind bushes at the Capitol.
Yeah.
And I saw that as well. People with GoPros on body cameras, you know, they show up wearing the black with the hoodies and kind of more.
They were changing clothes. Garb. I saw them changing clothes behind
and
bushes.
Getting dressed. Yeah.
They were bringing them in on buses. They were bussing people in right at the beginning, you know, at when they started the breach and it was frantic. There were so many organizations involved. Like I said, FBI, DOD, China, CCP, DHS, foreign, probably British intelligence, Mossad. It was massive.
Well, I would definitely send me a link to all of that stuff. I want to include it in this article on Dark Docs about this Nick fella, because you know, these people are the people that need to be doxed, and that's why we have Dark Docs. We're shedding light on the darkness. These are the people that are dark operatives. They are false flag agent provocateurs, and you know, they have one political ideology, and you'll never see me dressed up like Antifa and like throwing Molotov cocktails, you know, saying down with capitalism, because I'm not an agent provocateur. I am opposed to false flag operations. That's what we've always been about. I've written songs about it and made music videos about it. You know, we don't lie. We're not liars. We are not actors. We are not trying to deceive you. That's what Satan does. If you're a Christian, that's what evil does. It has to wear a mask. It has to disguise itself in order to trick you. We're not trying to trick you. This is my face. I am Christian. And this is my show. You can look up the DNS on my server. It has my actual home address where my mom and I live. I'm not hiding anything. Come and get me. You know, and
be careful.
Well, and that's I think that's what scares them. You know, when you're that transparent, that it's like if something does happen to you, You know who it was.
Well, something I learned recently, and I don't know where I got it from or what you, it dawned on me, and it was perfect sense. A lot of people believe that the most powerful emotion is love. Love is too subjective. What actually scares these people, these tyrants, whatever they're hiding behind, whatever kind of flag they're hiding behind, because they're just basically tyrants, is authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
When they see a man or woman that's actually knows who and what they are and what they're not, and they're going to be genuine and not some superficial, that's the most powerful emotion, is authenticity. Standing,
it's synonymous with truth. It is, when your authentic self, that is your true self. You are, you know, it's just simply walking the earth as you were built, as you were designed.
That's in my ability.
And you have, we all have our biases based on our experience and our upbringing, nature and nurture. But yep. Like that evolves if you're honest with yourself. That you can question yourself and like, oh, I'm right because of the, like, not being self-righteous, you know, being like, prove me wrong. You know, it's like Steven Crowder, you know, a lot of people don't like him. I was actually watching quite a bit of him today because they just leaked the first three pages of the Nashville shooter manifesto. I don't know if it's on darkdocs.com right now. It's very telling. She's talking about killing blonde hair mop, cisgender crackers and calling them faggots and all kinds of stuff. It's like really gnarly. It's interesting because this is a transgender individual, female to male, that, you know, killed four children and four employees, I think. And they didn't want to release this manifesto. And now we see why, because it's hateful. It's targeting white cisgender, quote unquote. I hate that term because it's being imposed upon us natural biological males and females that, we identify as what we were born as and all of that. Normal people, you can't say normal people. It's like, well, statistically, normal is based on statistics. Anything more than 51% of something is normal. Am I right?
I have my spiritual side, which is private. And that's what, because I think that's what your spirit, that's why you don't do religion. My spirituality is basically private. I'll share it with you, but I'm not going to try to convert you. I'm not going to impose my will. It's mine. It's private. And I think if we lived in a world where everybody realized it, it would be a lot better. Just your spirituality, your journey, whatever you're here to learn, that's basically yours.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
That's how I look at it. But, oh, shoot, now I went off on a tangent. What was it?
I was saying, like, you know, if you're a minority of
anything. Normal. Right. Normal to me in the material world means in line with nature, like your body temperature is normal, it's you're in right. line with nature, not yes. society, not culture, not religion. That's not mm-hmm. normal. That's a belief system. That's a cult.
Right. So, I mean, but it correlates with statistics, right? So, like, let's say the majority of human beings on this planet are somewhere around, like, what, 98.6 degrees. Some yep. people run maybe a decimal point above or below. Right. But on average, the normal person is 98.6 degrees. On average, the normal person is heterosexual. On average, the normal person is, quote unquote, cisgender. They correlate with their sex and their gender match. And all that. So it's like, but then they're trying to say, oh, gender norms are outdated. It's like, that's like saying mathematics is outdated. And they're trying to do all that kind of stuff with these weird things they're doing in the school system. But it's like, no, there's norms and then there's abnormal. It's not othering. It's just a fact. It's abnormal to be homosexual statistically. It's abnormal.
Right.
It's right or wrong. I'm just saying statistically exactly. abnormal.
No, I mean, we do see, and a lot of right, you know, a lot of conservatives would hate me for it when they say it's, I mean, we do see homosexual behavior in nature, like dogs will do the alpha male thing and all that.
It's abnormal, but of course it happens. It's unusual, right. but it right. happens.
But now here's what's not normal is I think it's the, how do I say this? The the gay lifestyle because it's a marketing term. It's packaged by the powers that should not be. Like, I mean, what is a gay lifestyle? I mean, there's no, this whole thing, this whole, oh, we're going to get married and we're going to adopt children. It's,
well, it's exactly. There's a, the whole, what do they call it? Identity politics. That is cultural Marxism.
Right.
That's a big aspect of this whole thing. And that's why it comes packaged with this radical leftism, right, and anti-capitalism and all of this. Because you are identified not by your actions, but by what you identify at, what you feel, not the objective truth of what you do, but how you feel about it. And that's the problem, you know, where, you know, and that's why they killed MLK, because, you know, he was quoted famously that judge a man not by the color of his skin, but by his actions. They don't like that. You know, they want you to be, oh, I'm gay, so therefore I am good. I am trans, therefore I am black, therefore I am good. Like, no, there's bad black guys, there's bad trans people, there's bad gays, but there's good trans people and good gays and good blacks, of course. You know, what is the average? What is normal? You know, what is the statistics on these things? And they don't like talking about that because, you know, it's like, I am an ally of American descendants of slavery, any blacks, any people of color, whatever you want to call yourself. I'm an ally. I believe in equality, not equity. I think we should all have the same fair chance in this system, yep, or any system in order to thrive and, you know, have land and have kids and raise them the way you want to raise them.
Right.
That's without the government getting involved. And, you know, but they don't like that. No, I'm a white man. I'm cisgender. Therefore, oh, yeah, I am the oppressor. You see how the system works.
You're a white man.
You have no perspective.
You're on team bad, you know, like team this and team that, you know.
It's orange man bad, white man bad, you know. But it's like, no, like, we have to stop the identity politics. And like, what have you done? Like that old song, what have you done for me lately? But seriously, like, what have you done? Don't rest on your laurels. I did some great things over the years. I strive to every morning continue to do great things. This interview right now, I think, is very important. I think in the future, people are going to watch this interview and be like, those guys don't seem so bad. You know, they're just talking about loving everyone and being anti-war and not taking a side on Israel and Palestine. But like, how about stop killing babies? How about stop murdering innocent women and men and people that are just trying to live their lives? How about that?
How about America stops being the number one prison industrial complex? But with I've been trying to tell the conservatives this for decades, and I was always called the communist liberal. Oh, no, they must have done something wrong to be in jail. No. No, it's terrible. It's terrible. This criminal justice system in this country and these esquires and these lawyers, it's on par with the military industrial complex, maybe even surpassed now. It's human trafficking. It's sick. I mean, 90% of people in those jails nobody deserves what I went through. I mean, what, selling drugs? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, again, all of this was over missing a Zoom meeting for a misdemeanor.
Well, no, you know, I banged on a window and I crawled through a broken window and then I meandered through the window.
It's not criminal trespass. It was already broke. You didn't break and enter. You entered an already broken window with thousands of other people. And you were doing it. And you know, intent is 9/10 of the law. You know, your intent wasn't to storm the Capitol. Your intent, which is on camera, was to expose a criminal leftist who was in false flag garb in order to set up MAGA, you know, protesters on the right wing. So this is an agent provocateur that is like flying a false flag, breaking and entering, that you were trying to dox, you were trying to investigate. And I, as an investigative journalist, I'd say you were well within your rights to follow this criminal in order to get information to turn over to law enforcement so they can prosecute the actual criminal.
Well, apparently he got sentenced by Trevor McFadden, a judge that Trevor McFadden. He got just probation. You know, they make
up a slap in the wrist, whereas you had to go to jail. You had to have, you know, your house raided and all this shit.
Yeah. Guns.
I mean, this is what we're dealing with here. It's a two-tier justice system where if you're part of the resistance, you know, that, you know, you have the rainbows like Lockheed Martin and like Google and like all these big companies.
My prediction is, I'm still on the fence about Trump, but I see a thing, especially with Israel right now, that they're going to swing this country to the so far right very quickly. I mean, I'm talking about Christian Zionists, those, you know, they want to drag fags behind a pickup truck and tie them to fences and lynch people. I mean,
now when you say fags, the Nashville shooter was calling white cisgender children fags. So now who are the
that's good point.
And it's funny because in Steven Crowder today too, he was calling Nazis fags. So it's like, but it's like, I like the term fag and faggot. Just I'm never talking about homosexuals.
It's just the definition of fag. I'm a traditionalist, so let's
it
see.
Is a stick for burning.
No,
it's a fascist.
No, this is a noun. British, a junior pupil at a public school who does minor chores for a senior pupil, basically a gopher, basically a
what
yes.
What is that, Black's Law?
No, it's in
I've never heard that definition.
Merriam-Webster's.
But yeah, if you look up, they're changing these definitions all the time. That's why this is an info war. But yeah, last time I checked, a faggot was a stick for burning. And then
the
plural for faggot was fascies. It's when you tie a bundle of sticks together and they burn, you know, fantastically. And in fact, our Statue of Liberty, she's holding up a bundle of sticks that are on fire. She's holding up a fascies, which is a bundle of faggots. I mean, according to that definition. So that's how I like it. You know, if I call you a faggot, it has nothing to do with your sexual orientation and everything to do with your only use is for burning to stay warm. You know, it's a very rude term to say to somebody.
At the DC Gulag, I befriended another Eric. His name was Eric Christie, and he's known as Fags for Trump. He was he's very famous in the Beverly Hills.
You might have met that guy. Yeah, okay.
A big, biggish guy, pretty eccentric, bald. Really?
Yeah, he was at CPAC, and he was hanging out with another Fag for Trump, our local guy, I forget his name. He's a really nice guy, really funny. He's a Black African American descendant of slavery. That is all. His father was a son of the American Revolution or whatever. He has a Confederate belt buckle and a rainbow shirt and a cowboy hat. He's a Black homosexual Trump supporter. That, you know, he's a Confederate. He's like the biggest enigma you could ever meet. And he was the most funny. He was the life of the party. We were having drinks at the Ale House by CPAC here in Orlando. And wow. I love seeing it because that breaks all the, you don't know what to say to someone like that. You know, they're breaking all the stereotypes. It's awesome.
That's a good thing to do, is break the stereotypes. And one of the first things I filed to the government when they arrested me first in 21, I was like, listen, I remember, I'm not one-dimensional. I'm not a team player. I'm not on this side or that side. I'm not one-dimensional. I'm really diverse. I'm not one-dimensional. So I'm basically trying to say, yeah, I'm not your MAGA or, you know, like a few months before January 6th, it's on my YouTube channel. I was in New York City and I stumbled upon a BLM protest and I was mixed in with the protesters. And I'm filming it. And I was filming people breaking windows. And most of the BLM people marching were like, hey, don't attack small businesses. Don't do it. But again, probably agent provocateurs were there. So these people will infiltrate every movement, left, white, black, white, comp, whatever. It's what the government does.
And it's very effective too, this strategy. I mean, because I've been at the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas. I've been at a lot of these protests over the years and stuff. And, you know, some of the Occupy protests, all that. And you always have to be careful because when everyone's all jacked up about anything, any topic, enough to like make signs, show up somewhere, whatever the protest is about, people are riled up. And it doesn't take much. It just takes one or two agents to go in there and just like break one window. And then everyone kind of looks at each other like, oh, we're doing this. And then
January 6th, you had people,
a natural thing.
They're shooting people. They're doing this. So you have people just even rabble rousing just with words saying they're doing this and they're doing that. And it gets people all paranoid and
much in the hysteria, you know, it's like it's very similar to the fog of war. You know, like when you're in war and, you know, there's just bullets going in every direction and, you know, you have friendly fire going on and, you know, you snap and, you know, you're just going to shoot whoever's in front of you. You're going to, you know, it's like, and I don't really blame people because, again, we're only human and we're very emotionally driven. And you have a fight or flight instinct and, you know, they have dialed this stuff in. That's what MK Ultra was all about, to understand the human mind and how to manipulate it in order to have sleeper cells, in order to have these agents that like you could just whisper a certain phrase to them, which they, you know, if you watch Captain America Winter Soldier, that, you know, that character, you know, if you say a string of digits, he snaps and he's activated and all these things happen. You see, look at all these mass shooters, they're on SSRIs. They are desensitized by first person shooters. They are alienated. You know, most of them are incels living in their mother's basement or whatever. They don't have like people that love them in their life. They don't have children. They're just watching the media, whether it's left, right, or center or whatever, and they're becoming radicalized. Yeah. And then that's why, you know, they shoot people up. And then, you know, then they blame guns when they should be blaming the pharmaceutical industrial complex. They should be blaming the mainstream media for radicalizing and making this all very polarizing and, you know, stopping people from going to church during the lockdowns or, you know, just meeting in pubs. Think about churches. Pubs, the places that these are the public houses, you know, way back when. This is where we have these conversations over a couple drinks. This is where the Declaration of Independence was written over, you know, a couple pints of beer and stuff. And like meeting on the level, which is something that Freemasons do, that like no matter what your background is, we're meeting at the level in this house in order to, you know, be unbiased and come to some sort of truth or understanding. Talk with people that you disagree with. We don't agree on everything. Right. You know, sometimes I'm like, really, Eric? I don't know, you know, but like, that's okay. Cause that's how we grow. I might, you know, influence you. You might influence me. We need to talk to our enemies, you know? And that's why during the whole,
the original thing was, you know, collectivism generally, as you know, I'm not a fan of any form of collectivism, but I see that there's always a reason, but what we were supposed to have is a social compact, but they brainwashed us into the social contract because it's all commercial. It's all commercial. That's the whole social security number, as you know, and the whole going to court and they're just, so there is no social contract. That's a myth that they invented. A compact is very different from a contract and they don't.
We had one, they broke it.
the compact was broken long ago. And now they're trying to say that we have contracts where I'm still looking, you know, the legal, lawful stuff I do, I don't see any evidence of a contract with these things called government or the municipality. They're corporations, they're franchises, and they're just like McDonald's in my view.
I mean, on paper, that's how it reads, you know, and of course we're tribal by nature and that's for survival, that like people that are like you, you're going to gravitate. If you put a bunch of, look at the jails. I mean, you were just in one, you know, you have the blacks, you have the Hispanics, you have the whites, and you have to join a gang, you know, in order to have protection against the other tribes. And when people are in the wilds, you know, if we got rid of our buildings and apartments and leases and society, and we just threw everyone in the desert or in the jungle, the same thing would happen. Hey, you kind of look like me. Let's have sex. Have kids. you know, hey, you know, we have our kids now. Now, you know, we're going to meet up with these other families that look like us and believe the same things. And you're a tribe. It's so, it's a natural thing. It's not racism, you know, but these tribes can work together for mutual goals. You guys make this better than us. We make this better than you. We grow this. You have this livestock. And then that's commerce. And so these are all natural trajectories of humanity. Where it gets corrupted is when someone's like, hey, you know, someone needs to regulate all you people trading with one another. Yeah. I'm gonna create a bank and you can borrow money from me.
Why would you do that? Don't you know how to be productive? You're a parasite and you're technically a parasite. So you want to get in between as a middleman, as a third party, as the tertium quid, which is a third party, in this nonsense of the Holy Trinity. Oh, where are you, Holy Ghost? No. I don't need a church to come in between me and my creation source, whatever you want to call it. And I don't need a middleman between me and Chris. So buzz off.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the role that government has always been. And, you know, I'm not necessarily anti-government. You know, it's like we're so deep into this thing now. Like, you know, I'd say we need to not be dramatic. And if we have a revolution, you know, which again, like you can't have revolution without revolve, you know, so it's just it creates a vacuum. So then, you know, you're going to have the next military or paramilitary power jump into that vacuum, or a foreign nation or something. So, but what we do need to do is bring all of our troops from all of these bases. You know, we are not the world police. We need to bring all that back. And stop trying to police all these other people and tell them what to do. And, you know, give all these, you know, foreign aid. There should be no what foreign aid does any country give the United States? You know, we should get out of the United Nations. All this global government, all of these things.
Didn't Congress or somebody in Congress, I'm not very political, but it seeps in. But I heard somebody in Congress, maybe the new speaker, just said about getting out of the United Nations or defunding.
It needs to happen, because that's the thing. The United Nations is just the new League of Nations. It's a Nazi enterprise. Same thing with the Olympics. Adolf Hitler created the logo for the Olympics and that we still use. He also made the Audi logo. He wasn't very creative.
It's the same logo, though. Audi and the Olympics. Oh, like some rings, you know.
Right. It's like one has three on the top, two on the bottom. Yeah. One has four across. I'm sure the MasterCard logo, they're all Venn diagrams. It's all two things becoming one thing. You know, so it's all collectivism. It's the opposition of individualism. And that's what communism is. It's a commune to merge and be doing things for the greater good instead of taking care of number one. And that's why they hate capitalism. They don't want you to have your own thing.
It's also the Catholic Church. You know, you got to go to First Communion. I got subjected to that non-ritualistic, cannibalistic. Like, what do you want me to? I'm eating the body and what? Drinking blood? What are you talking about?
I got an interesting story on that one. When I was a little kid, we used to go to a Catholic church. We used to go to like a lot. My mom, she took a religions of the world course in college. And, you know, that kind of sent her on a trajectory of like not being atheist, but respecting everyone's religion, which I think is a great way to raise a child, like make your own decisions. And that's why, you know, I have had some religious things that kind of have pushed me towards Christianity. Being named Christian doesn't help that either, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I relate to it. But, you know, growing up, we went to all kinds of churches and stuff. But, like, the one closest to us was the Catholic Church. And I remember when I was very little, I saw everyone line up for the little biscuit and the little bit of wine and stuff. And I wanted to just be a part of it. I was, like, fucking 5 years old, you know. And I was like, I want what they're doing. And then when I went up there, because I wasn't baptized, they turned me away. Uh-oh. And that was probably the worst thing that pastor or whatever you call them in Catholicism, probably the worst thing he could have done, because that turned me against, like, fuck you guys. You guys turned me away. And then when I learned, it's like a cannibalism ritual. You're drinking the blood and eating the flesh of Christ. That's disgusting. I don't want any part of that, you know?
Nobody's ever explained it to me, how it's actually sane or not a ritual that's kind of sick, but whatever.
Yeah. You know, so any of you Catholic scholars, you know, jump in the comments on this, because I would love to talk to you guys about this and a lot of other things, especially like the pedophilia stuff. Let's talk about that. We're running on an hour and 20 again. GibsonGo.com/Eric Bokin.
Ochene. Right there. Whatever. Yeah.
Bokine. B-O-C-H-E-N-E. Definitely, help this guy out, because he's throwing down to bring you guys information, unbiased, unfiltered, that's what we're trying to do too. And that's why we work with this guy. We were really worried about him when, all of a sudden he wasn't on the Signal group where, of course, Noah Westwind was keeping up with your mom. And fortunately, he was, making sure you were okay, and we were trying to get you in jail and stuff to maybe come on. And but
it was probably good I didn't do it, because I wouldn't have been able to talk about this stuff, because again, it's very right, a lot of people didn't like me. They were suspicious that I was a Fed or Antifa, because I just stand like I'm not doing your every night they sing this the national anthem, and I don't do that stuff. Talking about bombs bursting in air sounds very propagandistic to me.
Yeah, in fact, there's a new police state film that I actually saw in theaters from what's his name? He did America, What Would We Do Without Her, and Trump Card, and all those movies. He's an Indian American fella. Anyway, they end the film with that, and when I saw it in theaters here, it was actually very kind of touching. I got kind of like, because again, I'm kind of I guess you could say, I agree with you to a certain degree, like the national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance and stuff and nationalism, and it is dangerous stuff to just dive into. Yeah. Where at the same time, I bitch and moan about, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and how we're not following that, and how, you're un-American if, you're not, trying to defend the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment and, all these things that government doesn't give us, but that document says that they are given to us by God. They're giving us nature, whatever you want to call it, whatever your beliefs are, these are inalienable rights. But it was very touching that in the movie, when they showed, they did a dramatization of someone in jail for January 6th. And then you hear everyone singing the national anthem, and he's singing and crying. The entire theater stood up, put their hands on their hearts, and on one hand, I agree with you. On the other hand, seeing anybody get together in that kind of solidarity for something that they believe in, and that is like wholesome and just trying to save this country and save their fellow man and stuff, I like that. I think that's...
Well, I agree. Yeah. Part of me, sees it. It's just not my nature. I'm just, by nature, I'm an individual. I'm an uber individualist. I'm just, extreme libertarian, libertarian is anarchist light. Free association, and I'm more into the homesteading, just the pioneer. And they didn't have that generations ago. They didn't have all that patriotism here. It was Europeans coming here, trying to get away from that feudalism thing, just trying to be left alone by government and flags, and just trying to homestead. So,
and yet here we are again. So, Yeah, I mean, that's a great
point. And the U.S. flag is the same colors of the Union Jack and the East End, red, white, and blue, and the color scheme, too. I've researched a lot.
The fact that we're Democrats and Republicans and the red and the blue, it's like it's both sides on that flag, but there's no yellow, there's no libertarian, there's no black for the black banners or anybody. Exactly. So we'll leave you guys all with that. This is brought to you, of course, by darkdocs.com. Check out our store. We have no advertisers. We have no overlords. No one's telling us what to say or what to do. And that's the only way we're able to have an unbiased conversation like you just heard with Eric. And if you like what we're doing, please donate. We have a Cash App, cash.app/darkdox, DARKDOX, or simply just buy. So we have some very cool, we got comic books, we got movies, we got all kinds of stickers and all kinds of fun stuff. So check us out. Thanks again for coming on, Eric. Any last words you'd like to share with the universe?
No, it's good. Appreciate it. I'll be back. I got a lot of stuff to sort out, but it seems like I still have to stay in this fight. I can't just put my head down and take the punch. I mean, it's not over. I mean, I'm still got a target on my back, as we all do to one degree or another if we're doing this stuff.
And they're not going to like this video at all.
No, they probably won't. But
it's going to help humanity. It's not helping you. So people, please help this guy out.
The one good thing is, you know, they're still not going to be able to paint me into some MAGA extremist, which they never could, because I'm just me and, you know, I'm eccentric.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up on this broadcast, if anything, you know, so that way we'll have the official narrative from Eric instead of, you know, what they're trying to paint you as on the mainstream media and all of that. So, you know, you just heard it from, you know, the Eric's mouth. So awesome, man. Well, thanks for coming on and let's do this again soon. Yeah.
All righty. Cheers. Take care, people. See you.